There are people who need to go against the grain, but I'm not going against anything. Perhaps everything stems from the great handicap which life has given me. I'm cross-eyed. Ever since I've been able to reason, since the first time I was able to contemplate my image in a mirror and saw my own eyes, I told myself I was a man meant for silence, for meditation, a man made to work at smiling, fated to take long walks through the city I choose for my solitude. My mother, thank God, always knew about the shadow of the silent songbird that surrounded me. Likewise, she understood my decision to leave my hometown to go to Havana and find work. I've never been able to forget her, bidding me farewell at the train station, with her linen handkerchief waving between the smoke and her saintly smile, which never left her, not even in death. Even though it's rained a lot these years, until very recently, I could still give myself the pleasure of contemplating Havana through the same lens as when I first glimpsed it in January 1990. Back then, Havana still retained that halo of light and mystery. My bus came in on the old Central Highway, continued past Virgen del Camino, and straight through the disastrous streets of Luyano. At the end of my journey, I was awed by the statue of Martí in the Plaza de la Revolución and the sparkling Ferris wheel in the amusement park in front of the bus terminal. I'll never forget the taxi that took me to Infanta 234. It was a mandarin-colored De Soto, with the coat of arms from an ancient Spanish province affixed with the number 13. The driver was a little old man with an Andalusian accent and a multicolored hat. "That's the place." I remember the stains on his teeth that flashed when he talked. As I paid him, he betrayed a certain anxiety about my eyes. "Buddy, buy yourself some dark glasses," he told me. My Aunt Busa welcomed me, half solicitous and a bit taken aback, too. She looked at me just like the taxi driver and talked about spells that could cure whatever was wrong with my eyes. Her husband greeted me gruffly and asked me if I knew how to drive. When I said no, he began talking about modern times, how a man of this century must learn how to handle machinery. Later, he coached me about the interview I had scheduled for the following morning. "Say only what's necessary. Don't blow your nose and lie. Say that you know how to drive." To this day, I have no idea what any of that had to do with the job for which I was interviewing. That night, they set me up in a tiny room adjacent to the kitchen, whose only charm was a large window looking out at Havana. Everything was so different from my hometown. I was struck by the city's traffic, by the sea on the horizon, which at night I could only imagine, and by Radio Progreso's building right in front of me, from which flowed the station's love stories that made my mother sigh. I was in Havana, I told myself, and now I would never leave its flame, which could easily become either pleasure or hell. But because I was still in a grieving phase, I don't know if I'll ever really get over it, the interview was a disaster. At 8 o'clock in the morning, we planted ourselves in front of the manager's door at the Hotel Nacional. I was so nervous that I told my aunt's husband I needed to go to the bathroom. He pointed the way, and I found myself in front of a mirror. I noted that I'd never been more cross-eyed. I was afraid my pupils would fall out of their sockets and drop into the bathroom sink. When I came back, they were already waiting for me. We went into the manager's office. He was a man in his 30s with a mole on his nose. He said something about Greek beauty or Greek ideals of beauty, and that hotels were like the palaces of kings. "You have to understand Jerónimo," he said abruptly. "Maybe with dark glasses, no one will be able to tell," my aunt's husband said.